Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
Burnsy, what's going on?
You know, I'm not trying to put off talking about the Suns and what happened on Saturday.
Oh, we'll find like 17 other things to talk about?
Well, if I can just two words, Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn.
Oh.
Everybody else remember Lance Lynn?
Home run.
Remember
home run. Home run.
Everybody else have fond memories of the last time we saw Lance Lynn. I do. I have very fond memories of that. He's starting today for St. Louis. Okay. All right. Hi, Lance. Good to see you again.
What else can we possibly talk about? anything going on in the world of golf? Is that Rory guy switching to LIV?
I don't know. For some reason.
Did he take like $1 billion to go to LIV?
We have to take the remote control away from Dan Bickley. We've got two of our four monitors in here. They're on the golf channel. What in the hell is going on in
here? Yeah, we don't watch golf.
Two of the four. I mean, I watch it every now and then, but I don't need two monitors on, you know, Jack Nicklaus highlights from the 86 Masters, all right?
You know, like, Tiger Woods is still golfing. He golfed in that last major that they had.
The Masters?
The Masters, yeah.
I heard.
I thought he retired like 10 years ago. I thought the guy was done.
All right, you know what? Yeah. Enough of putting off the painful. Let's just rip off the Band-Aid and get right to it.
Talk about Bill Armstrong's press conference Wednesday in Utah?
No. Is he having a press conference on Wednesday?
Press conference Wednesday, yes. Really? He just texted me and said he's got a press conference Wednesday.
I'm actually curious to hear that one. Rip off the Band-Aid, Lauren. Go ahead. Play the
thing. Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Final score. Timberwolves win game one, 120-95. It takes a 1-0 series lead here in the best of seven first round matchup in the 24 NBA playoffs. Suns will try to bounce back in game two on Tuesday night, right back here at Target Center.
Boy, that's a far cry from this.
10 seconds left to go. Chemezi will dribble it into the forecourt. Fans get on their feet, and the Suns will end their home losing streak at 4. Suns win. Final score, 133-115.
Yeah, 133-115, 97-87. The third game they played, that first final call I played, that's what happened to the regular season? What happened to 3-0? What happened to dominance? Where'd it go? It
doesn't matter. You have a week to prepare. You know, we've said this all along. I mean, you cannot judge what happens in the regular season. Now, you know, it does give you belief that your team is better than their team. And, you know, me and I picked the Suns in 6. You picked them in 6. Kellen picked Minnesota in 7. Should have realized that we did. We realized, like, you know, we realized that it was going to be a harder series. Minnesota's going to win a couple games here. And it's one game. It's not the end of the world.
No, not at all.
But, man, did they get their asses handed to them. I mean, they got their asses handed to them. The Minnesota Timberwolves. And I tweeted this out, like, right it's like towards the end of the game. I really hope Frank Vogel doesn't go out there and complain about officiating. You lost by 25. You lost by 25. You were never in the game. You were never in the game.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing to, like, complain about, you know? So, it was a thorough beatdown by the Minnesota Timberwolves in that basketball game.
Yeah, 120-95, and
you gotta wash it.
You do. You have to. And look, last year, the Suns lost game one to the LA Clippers. They ended up winning the next 4. It's not the end of the world that they lost game one, and certainly they can continue to kind of have this edge that we felt like they had built up over Minnesota by a game two win tomorrow night. But that to me was the most damaging part of what happened on Saturday. It's not so much that you lost game one, because you can lose game one and you'll be fine, all right? It's that they, especially on the road, it's that they lost game one against a team where it's like, oh yeah, you think you figured this out? Yeah, you haven't figured out squat. You think you figured out Rudy Gobert? You haven't figured out squat. You think you figured out Anthony Edwards? You haven't figured out a thing. You haven't figured out anything about us and everything that happened during the regular season, including that almost like psychological belief that, oh yeah, this is a great matchup for us.
Yeah.
Minnesota pulled the plug on that in one game. It's like, yeah, you got no advantage over us. This wasn't psychological here.
Look, they're bigger, they're stronger, okay? And the physicality in the game, it shows up more in the playoffs than it does the regular season. It's a very physical game. And the Suns are more of a finesse team. You know, if the Suns hit their shots, they're going to win. And if not, they're going to lose. And Minnesota set the tone physically in that game. Now, what we do know is this. Like, You're playing a team like Sacramento, you can come back from a deficit of 20 points in the fourth quarter. Like, you can come back against those teams that play offense the way you do. You're not coming back against the team that plays defense like Minnesota does when you get down by that much.
Yeah.
Every possession is pulling teeth. Every possession is a battle. Like, they're going to defend you the entire shot clock. So it's, you get down by 20 points to them, it's different than being down 20 points to a lot of the other teams in this league.
No doubt. And Frank Vogel spoke after the game about the difference in physicality.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want them to put them to the line. They're a bigger, stronger team, but we can play more physical than we played tonight.
Bradley Beal?
I think in the beginning we did a good job of just sustaining their punch. You know, they came out aggressive. We knew that. The biggest thing is they kind of, we knew they didn't play their best game. I think I've said that over the last few days. Like, this is probably their best game that we've seen them, you know. So, respectfully so, it's one game. But, you know, they came out the aggressors, and they came out like they wanted a little bit more than we did. And they executed their game plan well. They made some adjustments from the first couple times we played them. Came out with some different junk in the game tonight. And like you said, it's a fill-out game, you know, so we kind of know what to expect. We're sure they'll make their adjustments, but we'll for sure make
it. Funny, we were talking before the show, but since we played Bradley Beal there, we were talking about that game, and I almost had to remind you that about halfway through the fourth quarter.
I didn't even recognize
that. Halfway through the third quarter, rather. That was a four-point game. So Bradley Beal hit that little midi. It was a four-point game halfway through the third quarter.
So Minnesota was up by 10 going into the third, and they were up by 20 at the end of the third quarter. So it was a big quarter for Minnesota.
Yeah.
They took a 10-point lead, and they doubled it to 20, and for all intent and purposes, the game was over. But you're right. I don't even, like, because I said, like, in my notes, it's like the game was over after the first quarter. The Suns, I never felt like the Suns were in the game.
They were in it.
After the first quarter, I never felt like the Suns were in this basketball game. You pointed out there was a shot clock violation in my notes. I got shot clock violation by Minnesota, and then Beal hits a shot at 71-67. Beal strips Edwards, and Allen's got a shot to make it a one-point game, and he misses the three. From there on, it was a bloodbath.
From
that point forward, the Suns, you've got the notes from your notes, the Suns couldn't hit a shot after that.
No, the Suns didn't hit a shot after that, actually. They did not hit a single basket the rest of the third quarter after Beal's jumper. Everything they got was free throws. 21-5 to end the quarter. Anthony Edwards, you talk about it being a bloodbath? Anthony Edwards was the one holding the knife, man, and he was carving up the Suns, and he was loving we'll talk about him a little bit later. He was loving every single minute. I've even got a chuckle out of Kevin Durant. In that moment, he was doing everything we were afraid he was going to do. He was getting other guys involved. He was getting his shot. He was taking KD to school. He was doing it all. And once that 21-5 run was over, then the game was like, once you're down 20 going into the fourth, you're not coming back against a team that has completely contained Devin Booker, that had really kind of limited Bradley Beal, even though he had an okay game. Kevin Durant was doing his thing. Certainly the Grayson Allen injury made it really difficult for the Suns to not any kind of a comeback, because Eric Gordon's really struggling right now. He's kind of wearing it a little bit.
Oh, man.
It was that third quarter run that did the Suns in. But to your point, for the totality of the game,
never felt like they were in it.
There was just such a different brand of basketball, and the Suns were nowhere near up to the task on Saturday.
In the third quarter, they were going to lose. They were going to lose the basketball game. Nurk turnover on a pass to KD. Drew Eubanks with the offensive foul. Edwards hits a three-pointer over KD. It's a 19-point lead. Alexander Walker hits a three. It's a 20-point lead. You go into the fourth quarter with a 20-point lead, and you're the Suns. You're going up against the best defense in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, all they got to do is score 5 points, and you're gonna win the game in the fourth quarter. Like, I think about it like that. Like, you know, they don't need a lot of points to win, because they're not going to give up 40.
But the series is not over, and one game might take away any advantages the Suns thought they had over Minnesota based off of what happened during the meaningless regular season. But one more game can get them right back in this series, set at home, steal home court advantage, and maybe plant a seed of doubt inside Minnesota's They're having their moment right now. They're feeling it. They've won one playoff series in their entire... They've had 1 year where they've won one playoff series their entire franchise history. Other than that, they've been one and done the entire time. They're feeling really, really good about themselves. One win tomorrow can change all that. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, you're going to beat a team like that. We've said it many times. Your best players have to play their best. That was not the case on Saturday for the Suns, and we're going to talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Hey, it's Luke. Game one wasn't what we expected from the Phoenix Suns, so will they be able to get it together for game two? We're getting you ready for Suns Timberwolves tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Well, I just think he missed some tough ones, you know, some easy ones that he normally makes. And, you know, I think he can be more aggressive to shoot more shots in the first half. But for the most part, he's trying to play the right way, trying to play hard. You know, and he got us going there in the third by making a couple shots, you know, so I'm not worried about Book. I think he'll come out here and have a great game, too.
Kevin Durant, after Saturday's game one from Devin Booker, 18 points, 5 of 16 shooting. He had always been able to take advantage of the Rudy Gobert matchup in the past. He was not able to. Not that Rudy Gobert was on him one-on-one, but in terms of kind of arranging the defensive coverage, right, to get some looks at Rudy Gobert. Boy, he wasn't able to do that. He was locked up by Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker the whole game.
Yeah,
man.
What's the stat with McDaniels on him? 1 for 7? Was that what it was?
That sounds familiar.
When McDaniel was on him. Listen, it was a bad game for Devin Booker. And I my belief. Your best players have to play well for you to win. And their best players didn't play well enough. KD was good. Like, KD was good, but he was a minus 18, by the way. Like, all this talk about how great Kevin Durant was, and he was good. He made shots. But he was a minus 18. But Devin Booker was a no-show. In a big game, he was 5 of 16 from the field, 2 of 6 from deep, 18 points, only 2 rebounds, 5 assists. Book was a minus 18. Oh, Durant was a minus 20. I'm sorry about that. Durant was a minus 20. Book was a minus 18. And Beal was a minus 9. Your top three guys combined for 64 points, I believe. 64 is what you got out of your big three. There's been games, Burnsy, where we've seen them 75, 80, 85, 90.
Sure.
We've seen those type of games. But their big three combined for 64 points. Minnesota's big three, the offensive juggernaut that they are in Rudy Gobert. And then Edwards and Towns, who can score. They actually had more points than the Suns' big three.
Yeah, Kevin Durant was fine, and I understand what you're going with the plus minus. He was fine.
He couldn't guard Edwards.
He couldn't. Not too many people can.
No.
But no, he couldn't guard Edwards. He couldn't. But Kevin Durant, I got nothing bad to say about Kevin Durant's game. He on any other day, you're going to take 31 points on 17 shots from him every day that ends in Y with 7 rebounds and a steal and a block. Yeah, the turnovers, he had 5 of them. That was a little problematic. Look, let's get right to this. This is about Devin Booker. Let's have the conversation about this. It's not about Kevin Durant. And I don't even really think this is about Bradley Beal. He was fine, too. He was just fine.
Yeah.
This is about Devin Booker. This is your team, your moment. And yes, defensively, they locked you up. You're Devin Booker. You have to figure out a way to adjust. You have to figure out a way to adapt.
Yeah.
You have to figure out a way to get around it. And it's that if the Suns are to have a chance in this series, it is literally Gambo that simple. Yes, it's a difficult matchup for you defensively. You're Devin Booker. You're one of the 10 best players in this league. You've got to figure it out. And that's what this comes down to at this point.
Yeah, there's a knock on Devin Booker that's really not fair. He's been a really good playoff performer in many of his games.
Yes.
He's had bad elimination games. Like last year, he had a 47-point game against the Denver Nuggets in a win. He had a 36-point game against the Denver Nuggets in a win. He had a 35-point game in a loss, but he only made 4 baskets and had 12 points against the Denver Nuggets in the finale. You go back to the Dallas game, obviously, probably one of the worst memories for any like current Suns fan is when they got eliminated by Dallas and they lost by, you know, what seemed like 50, but it was really like 30-something points. Three baskets made, 11 points in the elimination game for Devin Booker. So there is, he has had some really poor elimination games, and he's had a lot of other great games. That wasn't an elimination game, but that was not good Devin Booker. That wasn't great Devin Booker. That wasn't even good Devin Booker. No. That was bad Devin Booker.
That was the kind of Devin Booker that you keep that up, this series is going to be over a lot faster than anybody would have
thought. No
doubt. Devin Booker today, on what he saw looking back on the film, this is from our own Kellen Olsen, who's with the team in Minneapolis right now.
I mean, we had it going. I think, you know, the game got lost in the last 5-6 minutes of the third quarter where things domino effect. But, you know, if I'm not making shots and my teammates are, you know, I'm not opposed to that either. You know, games don't go as notices that if we win the game and I have a 5-for-15 or 5-for-16. So, you know, it's not my opportunity. I mean, it's not my job out there to just make sure I have an efficient, great night. You know, I'm trying to do everything on the floor to win the game.
But it helps when he has an efficient, great night. It helps make it easier for them to win when he has an efficient, great night. And I'll tell you something else about Devin Booker, too, that has been concerning to a certain extent this season. That when things don't go his way and when the challenge is there, especially defensively, sometimes I think he gets outside of himself a little bit, right? And it's a lot of jawing with the referees, and it's a lot
He led both teams in whining in that game, and I hate that. I hate it.
I do, too. I hate it. Because then it feels like it's been easier this year to push him off target if you're an opposing team, to get under his skin a little bit and make him play in a way he doesn't want to play and make him act in a way he probably doesn't want to act. It feels like it's been easier to push him into that realm this year than it has been in years past. And I felt that happening on Saturday. I don't know if you agree, but you could see Devin Booker just kind of lose himself a little bit in that game because of the calls he wasn't getting.
Takes the focus off.
The calls they get, right? It happens with him.
That's 4 or 5 times in a game. I could see he just wasn't happy with something, and he's arguing about it. Like, stop. Please, for the love of God, stop.
Yeah.
Just play. Get back on defense. Make a play. Didn't go your way. Go make a play on the other end. Go come up with a steal. Block a shot. Do something.
Now, to be fair,
force a shot clock violation, a turnover. Do something.
All NBA stars do the same thing. It's not just Devin Booker. They all do it. We could watch any NBA game, pick out the biggest star on the court, and we're going to see him doing the same thing. But it feels like with Book, his recovery time from doing it, like it used to like piss him off, make him angry, and he'd go out and do great things. It feels like this year it pisses him off, and he just has a hard time reining it back in and making plays happen on the basketball end. Now, I don't know if this is who Al McCoy was referring to when he was on the morning show today. Did you hear this?
I heard that he was on the morning show. I did not hear the interview.
I have no idea who Al McCoy, if anybody, specifically was talking about when he said this.
Okay, can I say two words to the Suns players this morning?
Yes.
Stop crying.
Thank you.
This is the playoffs. This is for the big boys. When you think you're fouled, get out there and be aggressive. Let's see some of that aggressiveness. Just stop crying on every call. You're not going to get calls. We know that whole scenario. We're not going to talk about the officiating. Just play as physical as has to be played and stop crying.
Wow. I did not hear that.
I didn't either until Lauren.
He's 100% right.
Lauren played it for me earlier today. I'm like, wow, still got the blowtorch working all these years.
I watch other NBA games at times. I don't pay as much attention to it. I do get the feeling that the Suns whine a lot. Now, you know, if anybody ever had a stat on that, what team whines the most? I would think our team's top five. You know, there might be a team that whines more, or two or three teams. I would think we're top five in that category because it seems like that's that. But stop it. I mean, I agree with Al. Stop it. You're on the road in a playoff game. It's going to be physical. Some calls you're not going to get. Just play harder. Just play harder. And don't argue about everything. This isn't the regular season. It's the playoffs. It's different.
Yeah, there's going to be a different level of physicality. It's the playoffs. There always are. There always are. And there's no question the Suns really struggled to adjust to that. And Minnesota did not struggle to adjust to that at all because that's how Minnesota plays. They're big, they're strong, they're physical, and that's what they do. Join Arizona Sports 98.7 FM this Thursday, round one of the NFL draft. We're going to be at Flanker's Kitchen. That's inside the BetMGM Sportsbook. Come witness the the Cardinals history with us and get a chance to win autographed Cardinals merchandise as well. Visit the contest page at arizonasports.com for full details. Pardon me. If you've never seen one of our draft shows, it's the most fun day out of the year. We have a lot of fun with it, and we would love for you to come out and join us because we really do enjoy it. When we come back, we've talked all season long about the math of the Phoenix Suns and the numbers. Boy, the math did not work for the Suns on Saturday, and we'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Everybody, Dan Bickley here, and tomorrow we'll get you prepped for Game 2 of the Suns-Timberwolves. Don't miss a minute. We kick it off at 6 a.m. on Arizona Sports.
We knew all week that this team is far better than the team we saw in the head-to-head matchups in the regular season. You know, I mean, it's a 56-win team with Cat missing 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever he missed. So, I mean, you know, really a 60-win caliber team that we're playing against. You know, so, you know, we knew they were going to play better. We hoped to have played better in Game 1, but we got to make a response in Game 2.
Frank Vogel, after the game, Suns lose 120-95 in Game 1 on Saturday. It was a mess. The final score makes it sound bad. It was bad. And the Suns do have an extra day, so does Minnesota, to get ready for tomorrow's Game 2 of this series, which is coming up at 4:30 in the afternoon. We have spoken many, many times here on Burns and Gambo about the math of the Phoenix Suns this year and how a lot of times, and we're not going to throw a ton of numbers at you, but we're going to throw a few because they matter. We've talked many times about a lot of times this year the math not working out for the Suns.
Oh, it did not work out this time.
Because of rebounds or second chance points or the three-point math and all these different numbers. The math was terrible for the Suns on Saturday. Terrible in terms of some of the discrepancies.
I almost could not believe the rebound margin was a plus 24 for Minnesota. They had 52 rebounds. The Suns had 28. Suns had 28 rebounds.
Yeah.
Now, when you miss shots against that team, and the Suns missed a lot of shots, when you miss shots, that's going to lead to them getting rebounds. But the offensive glass, Burnsy, the offensive, as bad as that was, right, as bad as that is, the news gets worse. 13-3 on the offensive boards.
Yeah.
13-3.
Rudy Gobert beat him 6-3 on the offensive boards. Rudy Gobert had 6. The Phoenix Suns had 3.
I mean, that's, you know, obviously that leads to second chance points.
Yep, of course.
And that's why those numbers weren't very good either. I mean, Rudy Gobert had 16 rebounds in 37 minutes. Yusuf Nurkic had 4 in 27 minutes. 4 rebounds in 27 minutes.
Yep.
And Drew Eubanks had 1 in 9 minutes. So, you know, you look at the difference in the rebounds, you're like, wow, what a big difference it was.
Frank Vogel was asked after the game on Saturday about the different physicality and if that was the reason for the rebound differential. Here's what he said.
Part of it, but that's not the only area that physicality shows up. You know, a lot of the offensive rebounds were more about containment, you know, and being in rotations. If we contain the basketball better and we keep the ball out of the paint, then the glass doesn't open up as much, you know, so we can be better there.
Here's Kevin Durant.
Oh, they're a big team. You know, we play small a lot. You know, I think we emphasize trying to get back on defense a little bit more so we can get no offensive rebounds. And how many offense? They had 13. You know, it's just they're bigger than us, to be honest. So we got to box even harder. And sometimes we might have to crash a little bit more offense to get more possessions, too.
Can I tell you the number that bothered me the most? That it wasn't
the assists.
Yep, you bet.
I knew it.
You knew it, right? You know me.
Yeah, because
we talked about it all year. Season low. 16 assists.
Yeah, there's a number.
You're not going to. You will not win the game when you have 16 assists if you're the Phoenix Suns.
There's a number when they have 30 or more. They're almost not unbeatable, but their records are incredible when they have 30 or more. They got half of that.
Half that.
Got half of it.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this is.
The ISO ball was nauseating at times.
Because you get down and then you become a hero and you want to do it yourself, right? And it was the ball movement that is so beautiful at times with this team, it wasn't there in this game. It just wasn't there. And not really, because, you know, and guys, you know, Grayson Allen, who we'll talk about in a little bit, and Eric Gordon, and, you know, those guys weren't making any shots. But yeah, I mean, the 26 assists to 16. I mean, that's when you don't have a true point guard and you lose a game like that, that number's going to stand out. Denver's going to stand out when you don't have a true point guard that's able to handle those duties. But, you're going to see that.
But even in those moments this year when they haven't, when they don't have a true point guard, we've said it so many times this season, I feel like we're repeating ourselves, but I'll keep saying it. We know what really good Suns basketball looks like, right? Even without a point guard, even if it's Devin Booker is the point or Bradley Beal or whomever is initiating, we know what it looks like. We see the ball moving. We see the ball popping. We see open shots created. We see they're putting the Minnesota Timberwolves or other teams in a blender. There was none of that. And so for me, it's not even about the lack of a point guard at this point. They had, we thought, figured out a way to play offensively without one, knowing what style works, the style of moving the ball around and not letting it devolve to iso ball. It's like they forgot everything they had learned over the last 10 games or so when they went 7-3 against some of the best competition in the NBA, and they were really getting good at sharing the ball. It's like they forgot all of that on Saturday. That's what was troubling to me.
Get down by 10 against a great defensive team that has size and length and width span, and it becomes a factor. I mean, that wasn't, you know, that, you know, 13 more shots, 88 shots to 75. Yep. The three-pointers weren't
that wasn't
terrible.
That bad. And the turnovers weren't that bad either.
They were 15 to 15.
They were even, and I think it was like 23 to 19 in points off turnovers. Mm. So, like, if you're talking about the math of the turnovers, or if you're talking about the, I'll tell you another math problem they lost big time, bench. 41-18.
Oh, I know.
They got killed.
I know.
Killed.
I know we're going to talk about that later, but that was a huge plus for Minnesota, the bench. I look at the three-pointers, they had 12, you had 9. That's a plus 9. You lost by 25. That's not the reason they lost. The second chance points, though, 20-6, because of all the rebounds and the offensive rebounds, became a big factor. And yeah, the numbers just didn't work for Phoenix. And again, when you get behind against a team like that, it's harder to come back. They're so good defensively. I'd love to play Sacramento. You get down by 20, blink of an eye, you can overcome that, you know, because the way they play.
So what's more fixable? Then is it the rebounding? Is it the assists? I don't know if it's bench.
Yeah, the rebound. Make shots and they won't have as many rebounds.
Okay.
Make more shots, they have less rebounds.
Yeah. You know me, I'm going to fixate on the assist thing. I think that to me is what needs to, they need to open things up a little bit. Now, if they don't have Grayson Allen, and Mitch, what did you say in the Sports Center update? Mitch has got his headphones on. What's Grayson Allen's status? What did Frank Vogel define Grayson Allen's status as after today's shoot-around? What did he say?
Said questionable.
Questionable?
For game 2.
Okay. Grayson Allen's going to help a lot of that. And if you don't have Grayson Allen, that's kind of problematic for that.
I'll see if I can find something out before the end of the show.
Because without him, that changes a little bit, especially if Eric Gordon's going to continue to struggle. But for me, get back to those moving the ball around kind of ways and trusting other guys and not just taking it yourself and things like that. That's where things got really gummed up.
It's tough because when you get down by 16, 19, 20, it's like we want to score fast.
Of course.
I don't have time to take 20 seconds off the shot clock, finding you. I'm down by 20. I gotta score, and I gotta score quickly because I can't take 20 seconds off because time is in their favor, and that worked against them.
Kendrick Perkins on NBA Today. I don't think this is the cut you're talking about. We're gonna play that a little bit later, but this is him talking about Anthony Edwards' effort and how it's rubbing off on the rest of the team.
His tenacity, and it rubs off on Carl Anthony Towns while I'm watching him slide his puppies guard and Kevin Durant, when it rubs off on Rudy Gobert, and I'm watching him slide his puppies on Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is going to make tough shots. We get that. But the fact of the matter is they're putting forth the effort. Donovan Mitchell couldn't dig that out of Rudy. Jimmy Butler couldn't dig that out of Carl Anthony Towns. So when I see the energy that this young man is playing with, I mean, it's a perfect, people say they haven't been this relevant since Kevin Garnett, but guess what? The personalities match.
They played hard, and Rudy Gobert played hard. Rudy Gobert was what, like a minus 65 in 3 games against the Suns this year during the regular season, and he was plus 19, right, in this one game. It was,
you almost forget that Jimmy Butler played for Minnesota for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, right?
You almost forget that. You know, obviously Chicago and Miami and Philly that one year, but you almost forget that he was once on the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was a while ago. When we come back, first let me remind you of the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. It works like every podcast you love to listen to. You'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo Show podcast brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold guaranteed realty. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Pick is for sale, but no sales are final until they're on the clock.
Oh, really? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Social Poll. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, Mitch is here to roll out today's social media poll question of the day. You can find it on X at Burns and Gambo, one word, on the artist formerly known as Twitter. Mitch, take it away for us. What are we asking the folks today?
I'm teeing y'all up for this next conversation.
Okay.
Based on everything that we're hearing, or I guess I'll tease about to hear, the Arizona Cardinals' first pick in the first round on Thursday will be, here are your options, fourth overall, in the top 10 but not fourth, between 11 and 20, or anyone 21st or later. So their first pick in the first round.
This is
round,
good, Mitch. This is good.
That's what I'm here for.
This is good because you're not saying they're going to make a trade. You're saying if they make a trade, where are they picking?
Mm-hmm.
Give me the options one more time.
Fourth overall, so where they are right now.
Okay.
That's where their first pick will be.
Okay.
In the top 10, but it won't be four. Between 11 and 20, or 21st or later.
Okay.
In the top 10, but it won't be four.
That's what I was going to say.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Nope, that's exactly what I was going to say.
In the top 10. I think
he's going to make a deal and then move back in. I was leaning Marvin Harrison Jr. all along, but I think he's going to make a deal and then move back in.
I think it'd be
now I'm nervous. When he's talking like that,
there was a day last week where Mitch and I made a lunch bet. Mitch says they're gonna stay at four, take Marvin Harrison Jr. I said they're gonna trade out. I thought you were gonna make the same bet with me that I made with Mitch, and the fact that you're
it's also a day we had some good Cardinals information on the draft, right? We discussed last week.
Yeah, so the fact that you're kinda waffling on
about
a little
the teams
bit.
That they would move up for. We said Atlanta, Chicago. The Chargers at five, and was one other team.
Chargers,
Tennessee.
Titans
we mentioned
seven.
Those four teams as areas where the Cardinals would target to try to move back up to if they trade down.
I think later, at some point this week, another question would be, okay, if it's not four and it is top 10, where are they picking?
Okay.
You know,
the breakdown.
And unless, we can even just go with Gambo's five, seven, eight, or nine.
Yeah.
Right? Because those, but although that kind of ignores six. Two,
yeah, but the Giants which is would where the, probably move up.
Which is
they?
Where the Giants are. No, but then the Cardinals could move down to six and just do a quickie little trade with them. So we'll have to work on that one. What's the audience
we'll
saying?
We'll take
this
it
one?
To the woodshed. 66% optimistic like myself that they will stay at four and pick four. 26% with you two saying they'll be in the top 10, but it won't be fourth overall. 6% thinking that their first pick in the first round will be somewhere between 11 and 20, and that leaves 1% thinking it'll be sometime after 20.
All right, that's a poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo X page, at Burns and Gambo. One word is where you can find it. Adam Schefter, speaking words that he had reported on earlier on ESPN.com on the Pat McAfee show, talking about how easy or how hard it's going to be for teams to move up to number four. Here's what he said.
Pick is for sale, but no sales are final until they're on the clock. And even then, I think four is going to be a tough spot to get to for some teams. I just don't know in the end that Arizona is going to be willing to give up the chance to get the top wide receiver in this draft to move out of that spot to get extra picks. Could it happen? Look, the Cardinals were brilliant last year in the way they manipulated the draft. Monty Austin Fort, their general manager, went from 3 to 12 to 6, got everything he wanted, more picks. It was brilliant. It was great. And they're going to be open to doing the same thing. But let's just assume that it's Minnesota, which is the most likely team in my mind, to trade up. Is Minnesota going to give up all the compensation that it needs to get up to 4 when it might be able to do it at 5?
You know, I'm smiling about this.
What?
I'm smiling because if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, that's exactly what I want Adam Schefter saying on national TV. That is exact word for word, practically. Boy, I don't know. It's going to be really tough for teams to get to four. Cardinals really love Marvin Harrison Jr. Boy, it seems like it's just a natural for them to stay there and take this generational wide receiver.
But it's true.
But as true as it might be, what that does is send a message to teams, up your price, up your price, up your price.
There's always a price. There's always a price.
Up your price.
And when Monty Austin Fort, look, you know, we talked about this last week. They're not setting a price. They're not going to set a price. They'll know when they see a good deal, they'll know it's a good deal. And they will wait until the day of the draft to do that. They're not giving anybody a price now. They're not going. We said this last week. All the stuff that's coming out today, we talked about this last week. They're not going to set a price now. They're going to wait until the day of the draft and then pit everybody against each other and see what they can come up to. I told you there's at least three teams that have inquired about moving up. Now, there may be more. Now, some teams or other teams that are like, hey, if one of the top three guys falls to four, then we'll call you, just letting you know. So if something crazy happens and Drake May's there at four or Jaden Daniels is there at four, then we're going to call you and we're very interested. And if it's J.J. McCarthy, we're not going to call you. So that's another area that's not being talked about. Yes, there are teams that may want to move up for J.J. McCarthy. There are other teams that are going to let the Cardinals know if one of those other guys happens to just fall.
Makes sense.
Then we're going to call you and we're going to want to make a trade with you.
There's a story today on ESPN.com. It was by Adam Schefter, kind of some of the draft buzz that he's been hearing. And a lot of it was what you just said a second ago. No sales are expected to be final until the Cardinals are on the clock.
Yep.
Austin Ford has told teams around the league that he wants to wait until the draft, until he is in a position to pick before agreeing to any trade. All the stuff that you just said. In the eyes of one coach, quote, Austin Fort is in the catbird seat, close quote. Was that Sean Payton basically giving the same quote again for a second time? Wasn't he the it's good to be money sitting on his gold throne, smoking his cigar, having his shoe shined?
What exactly is a catbird seat?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
I imagine it's a reference to like a cat sitting somewhere where it knows it can get the bird. Right? Like
a cat bird seat. Like we're all looking at each other. Like I've heard that phrase. I don't know what it is.
Cat bird seat. I would assume it means a cat is like who's about to like Sylvester and Tweety Bird, right? From Looney Tunes.
But he never got him.
No, he never did. He never got him.
He had a great seat. He never got him. He was dumb.
You saw a putty cat.
Right. But he never got him.
He was the dumbest
cartoon character of all time.
But dumber than the Roadrunner? Or dumber than the coyote chasing the Roadrunner?
The freaking Roadrunner's fast.
The coyote was pretty dumb.
But that Roadrunner was fast, and he had dynamite.
Lauren, do you have an answer on the catbird seat?
Yeah, Bernsie, you nailed it. It's basically being in a position of having the upper hand or a greater advantage.
Yeah, you're a cat ready to pounce on a bird
Tom
that doesn't know you're there.
Tom always had the upper hand and screwed it up every time. It was the dumbest. Tom was the dumbest cartoon character ever.
Tom, Sylvester, or the coyote, which was the dumbest of all time. They were all pretty dumb. And we all enjoyed every Saturday morning watching how dumb they were. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because we can relate.
I'm going with Coyote.
You're saying the Coyote is the dumbest? Yeah. I mean, it's like...
I was able to relate to those cartoon characters.
How many more times you got to get blown up by a stick of dynamite? You know what? Go chase something else.
He's
got
to be in debt to Acme by now,
right? Seriously, think about all the credit card debt the Coyote has racked up. Buying all those things from
Mrs.
the Acme
Coyote's
supply.
Probably pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good poll question one day. Throw that up there, Mitch. I'll read you. Who is the dumbest...
Sylvester, cartoon character of all time.
Or
the Coyote. Right? Because, I mean, Sylvester and Tweety, it was like Tom and Jerry. I don't know which one ripped
Fred
off.
Fred Flintstone?
Fred was still...
He wasn't very bright.
He wasn't bright, but I think Barney was dumber than Fred.
Jimmy, at least keep it to the Looney Tunes crowd.
Sorry, we're going into Hanna-Barbera. We're all over the place right now. The teams to keep an eye on for trading up. Giants at 6. Vikings at 11 and 23, the Broncos at 12, even after today, even with them getting Zach Wilson. Hey, by the way, Mitch, you might have the best basketball team in the world. Your football team just traded for Zach Wilson. Bravo, man. Bravo. Way to go. Way to go. Your team just got Zach Wilson. Yeah. Go win an NBA championship. Tell me how life is like with Zach Wilson next year. I'm telling you, I'll continue to say this. The best thing for the Cardinals to do is for word to get out there. Yeah, I don't know. We're pretty happy.
Right.
We're in a good spot. We really like Marvin Harrison Jr. In other words, you know, like, I don't think we're going to sell our house. I think we're good. I think we're okay. I think we're all right. Really? What if we give you this? What if, come on, we can talk you into this.
Because at that point, that's the only house you can buy. There's no other house. You're not taking another quarterback. If you can't get after J.J. McCarthy. Now, there are other guys, but I don't think that, I like Bo Nix and I like Penix Jr., but like they did not rise into that area.
I think it is the perfect messaging to exist right now for the Cardinals. The perfect messaging. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader, the Phoenix Suns back in action tomorrow. And we are asking you to embrace the Suns playoffs and go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in daily at 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 3 p.m. to snag our exclusive Phoenix Suns code word. Text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Don't miss your chance. Tune in today during the 3 o'clock hour to hear the word you need to be listening for. When we come back, he had his coming out party, and he did it at the Suns' expense on Saturday. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.